Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Update with Living Compassion. This is Ashwini, and I am here to talk to Sherry about a really exciting practice focus that we'll be looking at in the coming months. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you.
So I thought we might start out, Sherry, by asking you to articulate what the insight was. Some of us have had the opportunity to read a little bit about it in the newsletter, the article that came out, and some of us have also had a chance to process that with you here at the monastery, but maybe you could start us off.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So there are a few elements to this, and one of the primary elements that makes it so very easy for egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate to do what it does to people, to cause people to suffer, is that people really believe, number one, the voice in their head is who they are, and that the conversation is true and real. And so believing that, of course, we turn to the conversation to inform our lives.
Uh-huh.
So, so to inform our lives. And so what happens as a result of that is that that conversation, which is karmic conditioning, it is egocentric karmic conditioning. It's the karma that is attached to a particular human incarnation. That karma is able to guide and direct a person through life, through their decisions and choices, such that the person's karma is always reinforced.
Mm-hmm. May I reflect that, Sherry, just so that you can hear
please.
It one more time? So basically, that the conversation is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. It's what we believe is who we are, and it's what we believe our lives are about, but it is the conversation that we turn to in order to make all of our decisions and all of our however we approach life. It's the lens through which we view the world, but really it's none of that. It's karma.
Yes. And so what karma is constantly doing is seeking to reinforce itself. So the only way that the karma stays in control of a person's life and has access to that person's life force is if the person is giving the karma the attention that reinforces it. So
mm-hmm.
the upshot of
mm-hmm.
that, the significant piece of that to me is, I mean, all of that is significant, and if people kind of would diagram that out and see the various components, I think they could see how it operates in each life. Again, very important to remember that none of this is unique. None of it is personal. Karma
mm-hmm.
is karma,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
it manifests, the process of its manifestation is the same for every human being.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of all of this, what we can really benefit from realizing is the karma has us act out, and the way that we are convinced to act out, and I mean just act in a certain way, make certain choices, do various things in our life. We listen to the conversation. It has us do something so that what it said is played out so that we will turn again to the conversation for information about life.
Mm-hmm.
We only do what we do to keep the conversation appearing to be valid.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is the significant point that you are making, right? So it's not that the conversation happens as a result of circumstances. The conversation is creating the circumstances and talking about the circumstances and reinforcing the circumstances that will keep the conversation going.
That's right. So I think one of the, That's exactly it. I think one of the examples I gave is that I am in a miserable relationship, job situation. And the conversation is constantly about how miserable my circumstances are. And mm-hmm. why don't I X, Y, Z? But mm-hmm. then when I decide to do X, Y, Z, the conversation becomes, no, you can't do that. That's crazy. What's going to happen if blah, 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 blah. If at a certain mm-hmm. point something else happens that would interfere with the karmic story, then the karmic story just turns to whatever it is that will still reinforce it. So then I'm hearing, well, I knew it was going to go that way. I knew that would happen. It mm-hmm. always goes that way. Nothing, you know, mm-hmm. Nothing ever works for me. And mm-hmm. and that what I know, mm-hmm. what is true for me, is about the clearest example of what is karma that I can offer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That the definition of karma we have on the monastery wall is, or the monastery sandwich board, is the incessant push towards what we know, right?
Yeah.
In that, it's a self-reinforcing system, and both the words self and reinforcing are really important because it reinforces the self that reinforces itself, and it just keeps going on and on, and that's the wheel of karma we keep talking about.
Yes, and it's all ego maintenance. And again, back full circle to the beginning of this conversation, the deadly part for human beings is that we so deeply believe that that conversation is true and real, and that the one having it is me.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could realize that it's the equivalent of a recording that is on auto loop,
uh-huh.
and that we are actually listening to it, we're not participating mm-hmm. in it, mm-hmm. that would be a big step toward freedom.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, that it's a recorded loop that keeps playing itself out, and that we're listening to it, and as a consequence of listening to it, we're doing what it is saying we're doing or motivating us to do. And the confusing part is that there is a someone as part of the loop that is not what we are, but we identify with.
Yes. Yes, so there's an identity that is invested in the karma winning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
it is the karmic identity, yeah.
That's right. And the story it tells is that it's trying to help me win. It's trying to
uh-huh.
make me safe. It's trying to make good choices for me. It's trying, so I don't do anything foolish, so there's nothing dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So that,
mm-hmm.
and of course,
mm-hmm.
what's happening is that conversation is just being perpetuated.
Mm-hmm.
And at the
mm-hmm.
end, again, at the end of an event, at the end of whatever for everybody, probably at the end of life, the conclusion in looking back is, I knew it.
Sorry, Sherry. I know it?
I knew it.
What was the... I knew it. Uh-huh. I knew it.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it didn't work out for me. You know, I always hoped I'd find the right person. I always hoped that, you know, I'd find meaningful work, or that I'd have a purpose, or that a happy family. But, you know, nothing's ever worked for me. And so, yeah, well, that wasn't going to either. And the thing about the karma that's so fiendish, of course, is that it just keeps telling the story in such a believable way. So I have a relationship that's perfectly fine, but I'm not happy with it because the karma is I'm not happy in relationship. I have a great
uh-huh.
job, actually, but the karma is I don't like what I do for a living. I'm never satisfied. Uh-huh. I haven't found my purpose, right? So I'm listening to the conversation. I'm not present for what real life is and what it's doing, and so I miss real life in favor of a conversation that I believe is for me, and emphatically is not for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the important aspect of it is what we always talk about is we have to get out of the conversation, because if we don't get
yes.
out of the conversation, all we're doing is perpetuating the wheel of karma.
That's exactly right. There is no way. And so in practice, of course, we do all kinds of things. So if it says you need to, go in the opposite direction as quickly as possible until you can tell where something is coming from, until you can tell when it's coming, the information is coming from the heart and when the information is coming from the voices of karmic conditioning. It's very tricky, and it is the kind of it's the reason, if you will, for awareness practice, because the voice will quickly learn. I always say no to anything that's a voice in my head, so it says, you know, you ought to go on retreat. And then I'm going to say, no, I know you're just trying to lead me astray. I'm not going on retreat. Well, we don't want to do that, do we? So the kind of thing I mean is you're in a job, you hate your job, but it's good pay and benefits, and you'll probably never get anything else. And you say to yourself, well, now, how do I really want my life to be? Well, I want to be relaxed and happy. I want to be able to, there's terrible noise on the line. I don't know what that is, but I apologize to everybody. So, I want to enjoy my family and friends. I want to be a contribution. I want to be a happy human being. Okay, well, then what would be involved in that? Well, quitting that job that has those great benefits and all of that stress, and taking a job as, something that would meet those other needs, give you lots of exercise, have you around happy, friendly people, and so you find that sort of thing, or maybe you decide to just talk to somebody with a high-powered job last night who's looking at waiting tables, because that meets far more of the human being's needs than does this high-powered, high-paying job. So those are the kinds of decisions that we make.
Well, I think what you're saying, right, Cherry, that anything that opposes the karma from maintaining itself is what we usually hear voices of resistance to, and that's what we're paying attention to in order to make sure we make different decisions that don't perpetuate the karma.
That's exactly right, and I bet we're almost out of time. But before we go, you know, the job one is to hear the conversation in the head and realize, that's not me. That's a conversation. That conversation has been going on for a long time, regardless of circumstances, situations. So first I need to get it that is a karmic conversation that is forming, that is creating and maintaining the world that I'm seeing. And when I do that, I have positioned myself such that I can begin the process of not doing what that karma is saying I need to do in order to reinforce itself.
And the first sort of voice of resistance is, I don't even hear the conversation, right? Because that's how the karma will maintain itself. That it's such a hall of mirrors kind of thing where the focus is on the content to such an extent that we're never stepped back far enough to see that we're always looking through a karmic lens, which is what makes it so tricky.
Yes, or we could say exciting.
Or exciting.
Yes.
It's a true mystery and pursuit kind of practice. And there are so many things we could talk about this, and maybe that's what we will focus on in the upcoming weeks. But this was just sort of an introduction to recognizing that the conversation is there to perpetuate the conversation, and that's what we want to start to pay attention to, because exiting the conversation becoming aware of the conversation and then exiting the conversation is the practice that we're looking at.
That's right. The practice of freedom.
The practice of freedom. And freedom from the perspective of we don't want our lives to be just the maintenance of karma. There's another choice, which is to be here, to be present, to be living the life that's living through us, as full expressions of that.
Yes, to choose life instead of the conversation.
To choose life
All
instead
right.
of the conversation. Okay, thank you,
Sherry.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I bet we better see if Michael's still around, huh?
Yes, he is. And Michael, over to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ashwini.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ashwini, and thank you, Sherry. And good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Thank you, Michael. Good afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah. So get out of the conversation that reinforces the behavior that reinforces the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not that, I'm not that great a person. I hear a lot of voices saying I'm this or that or something else and whatever. And so, the voices encourage me, the conversation encourages me to do things. And then the conversation is, I'm not really that good a person and this doesn't really work and that doesn't happen. And so then I do other things that, a person can go through a whole life that way, never realizing that the only reason all this is happening is a conversation in their head.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It's like it's totally disconnected from reality.
Yes, yes it is. And that, Michael, is a very wise statement. It is totally disconnected from reality, and people mm-hmm. believe it is reality.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would love to chat with you. Yeah, it's great. And I could chat with you the whole hour. And we have a lot of other friends here and some announcements.
Good. What's coming up?
Virtual meditation groups is expanding to include 4 new group times starting tomorrow, April 1st.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And you're not fooling us about that, are you?
No, it's not a trick.
No, it's not a trick.
Not an April Fool's trick. And so, to enjoy the support and connection of meditating with Sangha, check out the meditation schedule on the Virtual Meditation Group's webpage at livingcompassion.org.
All right.
And coming up May 2nd through 9th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center is the Your Practice Retreat, which provides individualized support for what you choose as your practice focus during your stay, as well as working and sitting meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And so give yourself the gift of a week-long immersion in a monastic setting to deepen your practice.
In an exquisitely beautiful place, had a lovely time of year.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the deadline is tomorrow to sign up for the next quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies, a powerful, conscious, compassionate awareness practice.
Yes. Yes.
And for these and other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Michael, I want to make a little commercial announcement here for Reflective Listening Buddies.
Okay.
That is one of the greatest ways to see what we're talking about, how that conversation is a karmic conversation. It's really difficult for us to see it for ourselves in ourselves, but when we have a chance to reflect somebody else as they yeah. are talking about that karmic, because that's what people are talking about all the time, is the karmic yeah. conversation in my head, right? We begin yeah. to see it as a process. It's kind of a sort of the thing that happens to us when we're on retreat. We're on retreat, and here's this really lovely human being with obviously a really bad opinion of themselves. And
yeah.
and we get to see what self-hate is in action, because it's so obvious that the world that person is living in has nothing, as you say, has nothing to do with reality. Because we
yeah.
can see what is really so. And so having those kinds of opportunities with one another to disidentify, to have a larger perspective, is really powerful.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great. That's great. And a couple of reminders to make guest show. To indicate your desire to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. And I think we are ready here, Sherry.
Excellent.
First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura from Berkeley.
Well, hello, Laura. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. What's going on?
Well, as you say, it depends on who you ask.
Uh-huh.
I was just saying that condition, because I knew that I was going to be calling today, and so, you know, I think I was seeing the conversation about, well, what should I talk about? And it was dropping in just now. I was like, well, sort of the overall thing that's going on is practice is going really well. It's been really supportive and feeling really grateful.
You're seeing
for
that. A lot? You're seeing
yep,
a lot?
Seeing a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that kind of what shall I talk about? And now the voice that you heard, did it say, was it what should I talk about or what should you talk about? Do you know? Not trying to put you on the spot here, but just wondering if you heard it one way or the other.
I think it may have been a you thing. Sure.
Yeah, what are you going to talk about? So what are you going to talk about? Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's a great example of it, isn't it? Because what that karmic system needs to do is keep a person in the past or the future, because in the present, none of it exists, as we know. And so it wants. So what are you going to talk about? What are you going to talk about? And you need to have a plan for that. You need to think about that. You know, that's important. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you going to talk about? And of course, it doesn't care what you talk about. It's just that it. First of all, it's getting the attention in the moment, which is the primary objective. But then, whatever happens, it's being set up that there's going to be a conversation about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you either got on the show. Or you didn't. There's a good part of a conversation. You either said something good or you didn't. It was either helpful or it wasn't. And so the whole thing is an opportunity to perpetuate the conversation. And the conversation is all a part of Laura's life. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what it's doing. That's what it's creating. It's a giant tapestry of Laura's life. And so it's just constantly going over different pieces of it, focusing on that, yes, reinforcing it, and then over here, focusing on that, because she's that way and does that and likes that and doesn't like that and is good at that but isn't good at that and never has and shouldn't and won't. And yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny because I was actually seeing that. I'm realizing that I was seeing that exact process this morning because I have the day off and I was just seeing that conditioning was saying, well, you got to take advantage of this. I mean, it's sort of like the same thing. You got to pick something really good to do. And you've got to.
Yes.
And so then I'm not actually present, and then I can look back over the day and be like, well, you shouldn't have done that. You should have done this other thing, or, you know.
That's exactly it. And mm-hmm. it's so, on the one hand, it's so innocuous, right? It's not mm-hmm. like it's saying you're pond slime and you should kill yourself. You know, it's just this little, just running commentary. Like, you know, again, if it were somebody outside of you just walking around with you through the day, you'd strangle them at about 4 o'clock, right? But because it's inside the head, this is me. You know, I'm having this experience, and I'm talking about this, and I'm looking at this, you know, I want to make good decisions about my day off, right? I don't want to waste my time. I mean, I don't have a lot of it. And all of that is in the conversation. And the thing that we're not able to do then is say, okay, well, how do I want to feel on my day off?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, I want to feel relaxed. I want to feel happy. I want to feel there, relaxed and happy. Okay, then does it really matter what I do? Well, actually, no, as long as I'm relaxed and happy. Good. Then let's be relaxed and happy. Yeah, but there's nothing for the conversation in that unless it talked you into doing something, and then it could say, well, you know, you were going to be relaxed and happy, but you weren't because what you did was...
That's true.
Yeah, it's something, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and I'm seeing that it's relating to one of the conversations that I've been looking at. And I'm realizing that the last time I called in, which was, I think, about 9 months ago, I talked about this same thing, was the, sort of the running conversation about my body and how much it's supposed to weigh and all of that. And, yeah, so I was just kind of thinking about that as you were talking on the Good News Update about... because it's definitely something where I mean, I think that what I've been seeing more clearly now is that it's, you know, it's just there to create suffering, and that it'll try to torture me with this for the rest of my life if I let it.
Yes.
And
yes. And not only will it torture you with this for the rest of your life, but it can also add regret. So I'll tell you a little story about a friend of mine. So when she was like, I didn't even know her, but I think she was like 30. She hated her body, just hated it, okay? When she was 40, she hated her body, just hated it. But she wished she had the body she had when she was 30.
Yeah.
Because she was a few pounds lighter, right? And she was, okay,
yeah.
then she hit 50, right? And she would have given anything to have the body she had at 40. Yeah, and that's what it does to us. So not only is it miserable now, but it guarantees regret all the way through. And even though, you know, the person knows, okay, I did that at age 40, and I was looking at age 30 and 30 to 20, so why not just be happy with the way I am now? Because I know when I'm 50, I'm going to be looking back at this. It doesn't work that way because of the conversation. Because the conversation won't let us do even what we know is right, kind, intelligent, anything. It does. The conversation will go on.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think that there's sort of this belief or that if I just get it right, then it'll leave me alone.
Oh, boy. And wouldn't we love to have the show of hands? Of the people on the planet that happened to, because of course it's never going to happen. Yeah, because if you got to the point where everything is right, you're the right weight, you're the right level of fitness, you're eating the right diet, right exercise, right everything, then it switches to finances or relationship or you know whatever it is that is the next thing that perpetuates the conversation, because there are the details of the conversation. Right, the specifics of the conversation, and then there's the underlying message. Mm-hmm. And for almost everybody, the underlying message is you don't get to be happy because there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
And what goes along with that, as you say, is the implication that if you did something right, then this wouldn't be happening. You know, but it's your fault. I mean, you're the one who's screwing up. Yeah?
Yeah, and I can see that. Go ahead.
No, it's just so fiendish.
Yep. Yeah, that I can see that, you know, it tells me, oh, you should just lose 5 pounds. And I was like, well, when I was 5 pounds lighter, you still talked about my body. When I was 20 pounds lighter, you still talked about my body. You know, it's like...
Yes.
Then it was like, you're too thin. You're looking really bony there. That's the problem. That's, you know.
Yeah. It's just, it's evil, isn't it? I don't know what evil is exactly, but I'm pretty sure that's it. That system that we keep looking at, that's what people mean by evil. Because not only does it do this kind of torture that you're talking about, but it also does all of the rest of the torture in the world, right? It talks people into hating people and hating things and situations, and then doing all kinds of things, acting out from that conversation. So it's this kind of mild little something or other all the way to genocide. It's all coming from the same thing. It's all coming from a conversation in the head. And the only thing that those of us who are not participating in things like genocide can be grateful for is that's not the conversation we're having.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it were the conversation we were having, that's what we would be doing. Mm-hmm. In the same way that we are doing what it's making us do right now.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things I've been sort of grappling with is being in that place of like, okay, I'm starting to see, and so, you know, I've known intellectually all along, this is not, you know, this doesn't serve me, this isn't logical, it's not. But then, I guess what's dropping in is, you know, it's that place of just, you know, it's not on my time, but life's time is, you know, kind of...
Yeah, and keep showing up. We keep showing up and paying attention, and the insights drop in, and we get a little freer and a little freer. But the other thing before I let you go that I want to underline is we now have, and I think that it's why all of this is coming up so clearly, we now have the tool for getting out of this. Since there have been human beings, some version of this has been going on, right? But now we have recording and listening. And so we can actually, we have the ability to get out of that karmically conditioned conversation and get into a conversation that we choose instead. That is, there are no words to describe how powerful and miraculous that is. Yeah. But we have to do it. And the conversation is dead set against us doing it for obvious reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, and it seems like this is, I have a recording listening practice, but maybe it's time to sort of
ramp it up.
Ramp it up, yes.
Okay. And no conversations about the body unless they're, what an incredible body. What an amazing body. Watch it just get up and walk across the room whenever I ask it to. What an extraordinary, that heart just keeps beating and those lungs just keep filling with air and whoo, what an amazing body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. You're listening to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christine.
Hello, Christine.
Hi.
How's it going?
Fine, thanks. The karma, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the karma that you were talking about with the Ashwini.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So whenever there is conversation about karma, there's a lot of I need to avoid this and like fear, like it's like it's too much, or and then foggy headed, and then you know I don't know what you're talking about, but I do know what you're talking about actually. And so for example, so can I just say there's a few examples, two
well,
big
and,
ones
and,
for me.
And Christine, before you go on, I just want to underline.
Yeah.
I think you know this, but for anybody who doesn't know that whole conversation is the karma, right? That whole thing about, this is too, I don't know what you're, that whole thing is the karmic conversation, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Yeah. And so say, for example, one of the, I would say karmic, like family things, like generations, and it has to do with work. And it's true. I mean, I can really see it that it's not true. It's not true that I don't know what to do with my life. It's not true that I don't know, all sorts of stuff that conditioning says.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still an experience of being stuck in it, although there's also times of, I guess, the mentor or inner guidance of wanting to get out of it. And
may I?
Yeah.
Okay. So imagine with me for just a moment that conversation did not exist for you.
Okay.
Okay. So it would just never occur to you. It would never be anything. Yeah, it would it would just not be an issue.
I know, and that's the guidance that I get, that there's nothing going on here, just it's okay. You can apply for
a job. Yeah, but that's not the same thing. That's not the same thing.
Because what that's doing, and this is really, really important. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. So there's a conversation in my head that we'll do the, that I'm fat. So there's a conversation in my head that I'm fat. So I'm constantly focused on how fat I am, and and so that's my life. So people don't like me because I'm fat. I don't get to do the things I want to do because I'm fat. I can't do a lot of the things I want to do because I'm fat. Okay? Now, then that's how my life plays out. If I try to go into a conversation that says, sure you can. There's nothing about being fat that means you can't do those things. There's just because you're fat, it doesn't mean you can't. Can you see how I'm just perpetuating the conversation?
I think so, yeah.
I've gone from one side of the duality to the other side of the duality, but we're still talking about me being fat.
So I see what you're saying, although I also have little glimpses of, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm not as fat. I'm not that fat. I mean, I'm not, like...
That's right. And that's still...
Glimpses of, wait, that's not right.
That's still the conversation, isn't it? So if you're in a conversation about, you know, I don't know what to do with my life and I don't, and then the conversation becomes, well, sure, you know what to do with your life. You could da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You're still in the conversation. You're just defending against one side of the duality by bringing up the other side of the duality. And what we want to do, right, what we want to do is get out of the conversation.
Yes, and apparently it's really difficult for me to get out of the conversation, even when I think that I am out of the conversation, because I can think that I am out of the conversation, because it's... Yeah, I'm not going to have this go around and around. I'm not going to be in a duality. I'm not just drop all that. But then if nothing happens, then
karma comes in. Karma comes in and says, see, you tried to pretend that this isn't happening. But in fact, it is. But in fact, it is. So I can do anything I want. I'm not going to be in a conversation about being too fat. I'm not. And then nobody asks me out, and I don't get the job that I apply for, and I don't get that place that I wanted to live, and the karma comes in and says, see, I told you. I mean, you can kid yourself all you want, but the reality is you're too fat, and that's why your life is the way it is. Now, is it?
Yeah.
No. Of course it's not. But that's... That's the setup, and because I believed what it was saying, I went up against it, I came up with these proofs, okay? When these things happen, that will prove the karma is not true. And then I go along, and I make choices that wind me up in exactly the same place. The karma says, see, I told you, you should listen to me, because... Otherwise, you're going to get hurt. You may be wondering what the alternative is, right? Because how do we get out of a conversation without just going to the other side of it? That's the big stumbling block. And what we do to get out of a karmic conversation is to lose interest in the karmic issue.
Now, I can do that.
now we're really in the land of awareness practice, right? Of spiritual practice. Because what I'm going to do, instead of looking to karma to inform my life and interpret my life, I'm going to look to life to create my life.
And so when I'm not in the conversation about work or about a relationship, then I wouldn't miss opportunities like, oh, look, here's something. Oh, I think
That's
I'd
right.
enjoy that. And I would, and then I'd move forward. But then
That's
I still feel karma. I still feel the, then distraction comes in. And I mean, there's
yep.
a lot, there's a big force that tries to stop me. It's
oh, yes.
Really?
Now,
wild.
Remember this stuff we're doing is Buddhist, right? So it talks in terms of kalpas of karma, right? Lifetimes of this stuff that we're going up against. And
yeah.
the good news is what we're doing is waking up and ending suffering. So it's
yeah.
not like we're trying to, you know, close our eyes and say, it's not there, it's not there, it's not there. What we're doing is seeing everything and seeing how it works and stepping free of it. That's
yeah.
the process. Yeah. So you do that, you get out of the conversation, and then you watch this massive amount of resistance come up. You know, oh, okay. Well, there's clearly much to see here. Right?
Yeah.
And then you just kind of start watching. So step by step by step by step by step.
Okay, so I'm to the place of, wow, you know, I've been distracted, and obviously conditioning doesn't want me to make a move in these directions. So I just
yes.
notice, and hopefully I can make a move sometime. I mean,
well,
I guess life,
well,
as we're awake,
yeah.
life continues to remind me, you know, oh, now you can do this or that.
Yeah.
Or
yes. And you know, this is the reason that we're on the big Say Yes campaign, right? Because what usually happens in the karmic world is that people say yes to what reinforces karma, and they say no to what doesn't reinforce karma. Now, the no is meant to be smart and take care of me, and it's what I like, and it's who I am, and like that. So we say yes to what life offers just to see what happens. So, for instance, you're looking for a relationship, and this very, very nice person comes along that you're not at all attracted to, right, and wants to go out with you. And you say yes, because why not? You'll get to see everything that arises in you as resistance to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we do. So if I have a karma to have bad relationships that don't work out, that I think are going to be great and ultimately wind up making me miserable, then I have radar for the person who is going to follow that pattern. And the really nice person who wouldn't follow that pattern, I'm not attracted to at all. So that's the big be-all, end-all. I need to be attracted to somebody. Well, what we're attracted to is karma. That's what we're attracted to. We're attracted to the past, not the future. Okay? Yeah. So these are the kinds of things that we just pay attention to, right? And we see what's there. And, of course, we do a lot of recording and listening.
Okay.
Fun, huh?
Yeah. It definitely can be fun.
It definitely can be fun, yes.
Yeah.
All right. You'll let me know, won't you?
Okay. Yeah. I'll carry on and record and listen more.
Good. Very good. Because
yeah.
that's how you keep those insights in front of your awareness. And that's
mm-hmm.
what we want to do. This is what I've
yeah.
seen. I've seen this. I've seen this. And I've seen this. And then you listen to it, and that reinforces it. And then I've seen this, and then I was aware of that, and then that dropped in. And you listen to it, and that, and the awareness deepens and expands, and we're transformed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Good.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very
Thanks.
Much.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Christine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, we're going to break to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Sherry.
Perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Peter calling from New Jersey.
Well, hello, Peter.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. It's been a long time. Actually, normally in China, but this time I'm calling from New Jersey.
Well, yes. Well, you, yes. Good. Both excellent
places.
It's been so long. It has been a very long time. A very long time. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, yeah. I was just calling because I just I decided to move back to the U.S. and I had just been in a couple weeks, and it was always so challenging for me to call in from there with the internet being pretty blocked and things. So I was so excited to be able to call in from here. So I really didn't have a whole plan on what to call other than just to kind of say hi and just say how great it was to just always be able to listen to the radio show while I was over there. It was always so helpful during all my walks everywhere, and just such a great practice tool. And I was also kind of thinking all this time, like not being able to call in, how my recording and listening was probably a good push to just, I started getting so used to just doing recording and listening on my own because I didn't really have access to calling in and things like that. So it was kind of an interesting, I just realized that when I came back, I had been recording and listening so much that I hadn't even considered calling in, and I just realized, oh, I have this, now it's easier for me to call in. I'm going to call in.
Uh-huh. That's great. I love hearing that. I love hearing that it was that, both things, that the radio show and especially recording and listening were that kind of support for you when you were distant from Sangha.
Yeah, it's and the kind of the way I did it was I had a friend visit and brought me the last book on the recording and listening book, basically, with all the exercises.
Uh-huh.
So I'd just kind of gotten into the habit of doing one each day and then repeating it, and it just kind of became part of my daily practice, I guess. So yeah, it was really, it was really good. Yeah. So now the only thing that, like, I was thinking, I was like, wow, well, what can I share? But one thing that since I've been back has been just so, because for the past 5 years I really hadn't been speaking much English, and I really hadn't been out of China, and so just coming back and being put kind of back into an environment where communication is, you know, like with the internet is so easy. Yeah, English and just watching how things have like for the first 2 weeks, you know, speaking with people in English just general on a general basis was almost like a new experience, you know, like listening to people talk and then thinking about it was almost like I was really paying attention. Like I had developed kind of listening habits in Mandarin, where if I didn't really understand what someone was saying, I would always slow down and ask. And then I realized I had developed the same habit in English, and I don't think I ever used to do that. It just kind of like the listening skills in a way, but you know, almost learning how to listen.
Oh, Peter, may you never lose that skill.
I know. That's one of the things. I actually wrote an email to one of my friends. I was like, you know, I just see this going on, and I hope that doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I just was going to say, because with listening, or with one thing I've kind of became aware of coming back and see, I can see how with language, it's kind of like, you know, for me, I could see how I, relearning a language in a sense, I could see how it was kind of building on things that I would group together and then building on more things that I would group together. But maybe because I was an adult doing it, you know, well, started like 16 plus years ago, but an adult, right? And so I realized like that was the only thing I could do to kind of get to the point where I was really quite fluent, where I'm really quite fluent, but it was done in such a careful way, right? Not so much like a teenager and where you imitate all this slang that you maybe don't really want to be imitating, but you do anyway. And then kind of doing it as an adult, being careful about it, and now coming back into the English environment, I can see how I could go into like an old way of talking and saying things that, you know, I wouldn't necessarily want to say, but now it's almost like it's in slow motion and I don't really do that anymore. I don't know if that makes sense.
yeah, absolutely it does. The thing that struck me so much about what you said is when we are speaking the same language and we have, I suppose it doesn't even matter what we have in common, although I think it's easier if we are around people that we assume we know to some degree,
right,
or where our projections aren't running into anything difficult, then we really... we don't ask. We don't slow down and ask, what do you mean? Because we assume we know. We're not even aware that we're projecting a reality onto them that has nothing to do with who they are.
Yeah, and also like assuming that there was an identity that doesn't want to know that maybe I don't know something, and so there's a word they say and I just let it go by, and it's actually quite critical, but I assume just because I've heard it so much growing up that I know what that is, but
okay,
actually I don't
know it. Yeah. Right.
Slow down and ask, it's like, wow, I'm almost relearning English in a way, you know, like learning how to really listen and really just find out, ask and be with them as they're talking instead of just let it roll by and realize I really don't know what they're saying.
Yeah. And even if I know what they're saying, I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, that's actually what I meant.
So one of the things that I'm aware of is, and I don't know why, I don't know what it is about me that it's like this, but very often when people are just talking, I realize I don't know what they're talking about. And I hear myself asking for examples all the time. And I don't know if that's what brought me to being a religious person or what. You know, I love parables and all of that sort of thing. But it really, if somebody will go out of kind of concepts and bring it to this, and this, the combination of the two, I feel like I have a sense of what they're saying. But otherwise, if it's just on a concept level, I'm pretty sure I don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing. And the other thing I just really noticed a lot, too, is with eating, you know, the way that the Chinese people eat in general is to put all the food on the center of the table and everyone shares and orders a bunch of different things and then everyone eats out of the different plates on the table and no one really has their own portion, and I really got used to doing that, and I just feel that's the other thing that kind of shocks me as I re-enter into this lifestyle, and you know, and am surrounded with all the different choices as I'm getting myself stabilized and not cooking yet at home so much. Just seeing how it's just like, wow, I order something and there's this huge portion and I'm just shocked because I can't eat it, and it's just, but it's default.
Who's joining me for this, right?
Yeah. It's really quite shocking. So I'm just, all these things, just, it's really exciting, really fun, and really, I hope that I, you know, just hope that I keep staying aware and like keep practicing through it all and keep my, you know, all the good habits.
Stay in beginner's mind, right? That's the thing that we lose because we know, so we just stop being present, stop paying attention. And the kinds of things that you're describing, it's just so, it's the argument for traveling, isn't it? It's the argument for being in another culture. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a simple thing of these things are only called this because we're in this country. When we go somewhere
else. Yeah, exactly.
It sounds but the shock of that.
Yeah, there's just so many different ways to live. And I think, too, it speaks for me kind of like having developed a practice in this, developed my own practice from day to day of just everything, paying attention from eating and whatever it is. But whether I'm there or here, just seeing also that, you know, while I have the habits there that I'm becoming aware of and appreciating some things that maybe they do that I didn't do growing up or something like that, but then also seeing beyond that and realizing because I was practicing so much there that, and for me, I was really working a lot on my diet and things like that as I was living there because fruits and vegetables were always so easy to get. And just realizing that, well, there's that culture there, there's this culture here, and then there's my culture of practice, which I've developed as far as how I eat and how I treat myself. And, you know, as I've grown, you know, day to day have my things that I commit to. That was the other thing I really had gotten good at was what I'm going to commit to each month. And I kind of had the stickers and I had done all that kind of daily, you know, and commitment and then developing from that, you know, letting that evolve and kind of having my own culture in quotes, you know what I mean? And then realizing that, that's kind of a culture that supports me and, you know, I can appreciate everything else, but that's the one that really I want to continue to develop.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. And not fall into the unconscious cultural habits that take your culture away from you.
Right.
Peter's practice culture.
Exactly. The one that supports me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just been great. I just wanted to share that. I kept thinking, like, geez, there's so much I see. It'd be so neat to share all that, but there's so much. And really what, you know, I was saying is, like, beginner's mind. It's, like, kind of always being kind of present the one that supports me. I think that's kind of what I'm seeing through all this is, like, as I move all around, just, like, that one that supports me, that's the one I want to continue to do, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, it's great to have you home.
Yeah,
stay
thank
in touch,
you. Hopefully, I'll be call easier. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, might even see you on a retreat. We never know.
Yes, for sure.
All right, good. Take care,
well, thank
Peter.
You. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks, Michael. Yep, good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Peter, from New Jersey. That was a fascinating conversation, Sherry.
Mm.
It was great. Yeah.
Anything in particular about that strike you?
Yes, especially as you mentioned that, you know, when we go to a foreign country, we have to pay attention because it is all new. And we don't know where the grocery store is or the school or how to interact with people. And so it forces us into that beginner's mind place, which is just so wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the first time I was in a culture where the way things are done is the first person to push their way to the front is the first person in the line. And I was so offended. You know, it was just my polite little self was just so offended that people would act that way. And then to realize, whoa, wait a minute. That's just how it's done here. And then the fun of getting into that and seeing if one can become good at it. Because to be polite meant you were going to get left out. You know, my version of polite. And, of course, for them, it had nothing to do with polite. It had to do with, do you want to go or not? You know, do you want to get on the bus or don't you? And assumptions that, again, you know, if there are assumptions that karmic conditioning would call wrong, then it's always happy to point those out to us. But the difficulty of letting go the things that we believe are right and good that are no more
yes.
than cultural assumptions. It's fascinating. Yeah.
Yes, fascinating. And we have another caller here.
Oh, that's good. Thank you.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. This is Trish from
hey,
Northern
Trish.
California. Hi, Sherry.
How
Hi,
are
Michael.
You?
I'm having some sensations in my body right
Whoa.
Now.
Whoa. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. With the, you're unmuted?
Yep. I wasn't expecting
uh-huh.
it.
Okay, well, just breathe a couple, you know, just a
yeah.
couple of breaths there and get the heart under a manageable level.
So I guess the thing that would be good to talk about is feeling not committed to practice
good.
and that hearing that story pretty incessantly throughout the day.
The conversation that you aren't and should be, or that you aren't
yeah.
and don't want to be, or
both.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Don't want to record and listen. Really don't want to record and listen.
Uh-huh. Because? Is there a because with the conversation?
It doesn't really. There's other things I'd rather do. It doesn't really seem to help me, which is kind of baloney. And it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, 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 record and listen. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Getting the tweets and kind of the, oftentimes kind of ignoring the little sound that I'm getting a tweet.
Uh-huh.
And then waiting to the end of the day to look at the tweets and, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That kind of thing.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Yes, please.
Does it seem to be making you happier?
No. The conversation?
Yeah.
No. No.
Yeah.
No, no, no. It's kind of driving me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I've been very committed to sitting for a long time, and I still do that in the morning and a short time in the evening as well. And I do, you know, I do intermittently record and listen, and I do intermittently, you know, find a tweet that strikes home that's like, oh, yeah, yeah. That feels
so
great.
Let me ask you this. What would it be like if you just went on and admitted that you are committed?
Well, just, I mean, what comes up right now is just like, you know, all the ways that I'm not, you know, the voices come up. Yeah. So when you said that, it was like the voices. So well, you know, you can't do that because you really aren't committed.
But actually you are. Right? I mean, you've been, as you said, you've been committed to sitting twice
yeah.
a day
yeah.
for a really long time.
Yeah.
Right. And
it would,
you know,
say, you know, but not that long, only 20 minutes in the morning, only 10 minutes at night. But
yeah.
And it's not, and they're not good meditations. You're wandering off all the time and you're not really focused and you're really not, you're not watching it. you're just you're just going through the motions.
So we're pretty clear that those voices are utterly bogus and just there to try to make you miserable, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not like they're rooting for you to have a better meditation practice, right? Or be more committed to practice. So, you know, if you wanted to, just something just to make them absolutely crazy, you could say, you know, you're right. I haven't been as committed as I want. So what I'm going to do for the next week is really commit to reading the tweets when they first come in. And just watch what happens, how they change their story.
Okay.
Because, because the implication is they're on your side. You know, they're pointing this out to you. We're not supposed to examine any of this, but, you know, they're pointing this out to you because you're really screwing up here. And you need to be made clear about that, right? This is the parent-little-kid thing. You know, we need to point out to you what you're doing wrong because maybe then you'll wake up and do the right thing. You probably won't, but at least if we point out to you often enough everything you're doing wrong, then, you know, maybe a miracle will happen and you'll turn into a decent human being. We doubt it, but it could happen that way, right?
Or you'll end your suffering.
Yeah, which we're pretty sure we're never going to let you do. So as soon as we catch on that, no, they're not there giving us that information so that we'll have a better, happier life, they're doing it just to get the attention and make us feel bad because that's what feeds them. So then what we can do is start going in a different direction, which is, so we talked with Christine about just going to the opposite side of the duality, and sometimes that's really helpful. So what they're on about is not being committed enough to practice. So each week, just decide on something you're going to be committed to and do that. And then when they start in on that, what you can say, because it's true, is, well, actually, you know, I am committed. I'm doing this and this and this, and they don't want to hear that, right? So they're going to stop talking about that. And they're going to go on to the next thing. And the really helpful part of that is you're going to be watching for them to go on to the next thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And what happens in that, Trish, is that instead of you being the hunted, which is the way it is now, right?
Yeah.
You're the prey, and they're just tracking you through the woods. You're going to stop and turn around. And they don't have any choice. Now, this is true for everybody all the time, okay? That karma has no ability to do anything unless a person is afraid of it and is on the run. So when we stop and just turn around and say, this is the deal, it's going to go away. It's going to get really, really quiet until you're distracted again and it can start up. Yeah? So you just turn around and say, well, you know, that's a good point. I haven't been as diligent about attending to the tweets as I would like, so this week I'm going to do that. Thank you for that. And I'm going to I'll actually record about the ones that are really most insightful and helpful to me. So thank you for that reminder. Then, you know, every morning you remind yourself, this is what I'm going to do during the day. This is what I committed to. And at the end of the day, you can say, great job. I'm actually much more committed even than I was before. And I was already obviously committed. I meditate every morning and every evening.
And I go to a sitting group on Wednesday.
And I go to a sitting group, for heaven's sake. Yeah, yeah. And so what you're doing is just taking the power away from that conversation. And, of course, that's the bottom line, why that system doesn't want us to record and listen, because that's the competition, right? If you're listening to recordings, making and listening to recordings, you're not listening to it. And it really doesn't want that to happen. So you just record and listen about your insights and awarenesses and your commitments and how you keep them and lots of praise for the person who's doing practice and increasingly you listen to that instead of them. And just watch where they go next.
Next. Okay.
Fun, huh?
It's just so, it's crazy. I mean, you know, when you lay it out like that, it makes such sense, you know.
It makes such sense, and it is crazy. It is crazy. I mean, yes, if we human beings could just take a big jump back into space and look at what's going on with us, what we're doing, what we're believing, how caught we are, oh, this is an asylum, right? But when we're in it and we're believing it, it's so real. It seems so true. And everybody else believes it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could ask anybody, and they'll say the same. Oh yeah, I did blah. And they're saying the same thing that's in my head. It must be true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let me know.
Thank you. I feel much better.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. All right. Take care, Trish.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Michael.
Bye-bye. Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Trish. And thank you, Sherry. That was a fabulous show and a great conversation there at the end.
It was. We've had many good conversations that are not karma supportive, haven't we?
Yeah. It's a great place and it's a great resource to have these.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Michael, and good night.
Thank you. Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.